This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. It's been almost 2 weeks since former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak failed in his final appeal for his SRC international corruption case at the federal court. Since then, Najib has begun his 12-year sentence in prison as a convicted felon guilty of embezzling 42 million ringgit from the government, although he's currently now in the Kuala Lumpur General Hospital being treated for an undisclosed medical condition. But stable.
Yeah.
This is, however, just the first of several corruption cases that he's undergoing and he'll be facing in the months to come.
So despite the conviction, many UMNO members continue to support the disgraced former Prime Minister, with UMNO divisional leaders calling for a royal pardon and accusing the trials of being biased. Now, in a few days' time, actually, we're not sure, maybe today, tomorrow, I think the 14 days runs out, Najib will be disqualified as MP for Pekan, according to the federal constitution. He can only hang on to that seat if there is a royal pardon granted. While no official news has been made on this, what happens if we lose the Pekan parliamentary constituency? And also, I'm just curious, why is that seat so important?
So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, a senior fellow at the Ilham Center. Good morning, Dr. Hamidin. Thanks for joining us today. Now, do we know at this stage if Najib Razak has actually filed for a pardon? What happens to the seat if Najib fails to retain it?
Thank you. Morning, Xiaoning and Shazana. I think, as far as we know, until today, there is no application by Najib to the pardon board, request to be pardoned by the Yang Dipertuan Agong to get the royal pardon. So I think that's obviously, I don't think within these 2 weeks, the pardon will be given to him by His Majesty. With that, I do believe that Pekan MP-ship will be empty, and it will remain empty until the next general election.
Doc, can you give us some background as to Najib's performance as Pekan MP? Why is it so important, this seat? Is it a family seat?
Yeah, basically, traditionally, it is a very much a family seat for Najib. The seat for parliamentary was held by his father, the late Tun Razak, from 1959. And Najib took over in 1976 to 1982. He relinquished the post for 4 years when he was contested as a don in Pekan, Bandar Pekan itself, in 82 to 86, and came back as an MP since then until today, basically. So basically, since the constituency was introduced, only one names, Razak Hussein family names, appeared in the voting ballot for Barisan Nasional and their representative MP. So basically, Najib family and Pekan is very much two in one for the local. Mm-hmm. And he very much being admired in Pekan, basically. I think he made a lot of successful contribution to Pekan from the sleepy, a royal town, I think Pekan becoming very industrial to some extent. We have a DRB industry there. You have a university there now. Things become a very light, I think, during Najib time as an MP of Pekan.
Do you think his son, Datuk Muhammad Nizar, will run then?
Yeah, I think he's the favourite. And from the vibe that we hear in what happened in Pekan, obviously, there is no other candidate going to replace Najib other than his son, Muhammad Nizar, who is already being appointed as a head of Ketua Pemuda in Pekan since 2018. So with that, I think partly is a continuous legacy of Tun Razak from Najib to his son now. So with that, at the same time, I think people in Pekan definitely want the same family to represent them in the federal level.
Dr. Hamidin, maybe I'd really like to get your thoughts on the narrative that UMNO is pushing forward in the wake of Najib Razak's conviction. Why does the UMNO leadership continue the narrative that Najib has been wronged and that there has been a miscarriage of justice, even though he's gone through three separate trials and the federal court has ruled otherwise?
Yeah, I think this is interesting to see what's the narrative for for UMNO. One, you have to see from UMNO point of view. I do believe what's happened to UMNO now is very much, they're still in denial. First, they don't believe that their leaders can be sent to jail. I do think that they believe that they can, they are, they believe for UMNO that their leaders are above the law. Basically, they can do anything as they like, and so they will find a way to make sure that no punishment will be given to their leaders. I think that's the mindset, because they believe that as a leader, it's very much untouchable for their leaders to be sentenced to jail, as what happened to Najib. But at the same time, I do believe why Najib, people are keep questioning us, for example, the researcher, why people are still supporting Najib in while he's already being convicted. I think this is where, to understand that, especially in the rural area like in Pekan, you have to understand the psyche of the voters there. I think they see Najib more as part of them, where Najib are very much assisting them in their daily life. They didn't see much Najib as a prime minister where involved with many scandalous things. But they see Najib more as someone who close to them, who taking care of them, who always there with them in social or even in other matters. So with that, they have a very different relationship with Najib. For UMNO, I do believe Najib still have a very strong sense of power and still gain most of the resources that governing UMNO. What I mean is financial and also in terms of the political support. I think most of it are still with UMNO. Why? Because even though they lost in 2018, and most of people blaming Najib and YMDB for that, but at the same time, with his effort, I think when he not making a comeback, but try to show that he is the one that responsible for that and make himself available after the PRU14 and becoming famous with Bosku and all out, basically try to regain UMNO back into society, that give him a support which continuously given to him even after UMNO loss in 2018.
All right, Doc, since we have you on the line, I want to ask you about the most recent developments that happened yesterday, and that is Khairi Jamaluddin apparently not being given his seat to run at Rembau from a message by Tok Mat. What do you make of it?
As analysts, we do expect that to happen, basically, to Khairi Jamaluddin. First, obviously, as we know, there is a contestation between the Putrajaya cluster and the Kok cluster in UMNO. And I think by Kok cluster is controlling the structure of UMNO, and KJ in the was seen as more sympathetic of Ismail Sabri and very much a vocal critic of the decision of UMNO to still to support Najib. I think partly is a punishment for Najib. Secondly, it is obviously a natural course for Tok Mat. As a deputy president of UMNO, I don't think he must stay in the state level. He must go to the national level, and the only way for him to do that is to become members of parliament, and the safest seat for Tok Mat, obviously Rembau, where he is the ketua UMNO in that area. Mm. So with that, I do believe Khairi is seeing something written on the wall for him. So I do believe it is a natural thing for Tok Mat to basically claim his throne from KJ.
Yeah, so does this mean that KJ won't run in GE15? I mean, he is a shining star, right? Because he so far has done pretty well as Minister of Health.
Yes, definitely a shining. But that's from the non-UMNO point of view. For UMNO membership and UMNO hardcore, I don't think KJ have a very high place in their regard. Most of them seem KJ is someone that very critical of Najib, not very much in line with what the party want, for example. At the same time, one of the problems faced by KJ is KJ don't have a strong grassroots support compared to Tok Mat or others. So with that, I don't think any bahagian want to offer a KJ to run to represent them in other constituency. So with that, I do believe KJ really have to think basically the trajectory of his political life. He want to stay with UMNO with nothing, or he still want to serve the people, which he did brilliantly in my point of view, and he is a good MP with another organization. So I do wish that KJ maintain his position, maintain his presence in Malaysian politics, because obviously I think he will bring a new, bit fresh kind of narrative to Malaysian politics.
Hamidin, thanks as always for the chat. That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Senior Fellow at the Ilham Center, weighing in on what happens to the Pekan parliamentary seat if and when Datuk Sri Najib Razak is disqualified as a Member of Parliament. And also talking about some developments overnight regarding future seat allocations for GE15 and whether Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin will be running in these elections.
Yeah, does it mean that he will be out of GE15? Or does this really represent the fissures between UMNO, between the court cluster and the minister cluster? I'm just curious, does this mean Ismail Sabri gets to run in his seat? Who decides all this?
I have to say, it's very interesting, yeah, to see what's happening in UMNO, because as Hamidin pointed out, Khairi Jamaluddin is very well regarded by the general population for how he served as health minister. So for him not to run in a parliamentary seat, I don't know what that means. Would we see him come back as a senator if the government wanted to, if whoever the government is wanted to retain him? And Hamidin point out that his political future is, I guess he needs to start making plans or strategizing about what he wants to do next, whether UMNO is really where he wants to stay.
And the tone of it is rather unusual, because I'm quoting from Malaysia Kini, which then quotes from the New Straits Times, basically saying, Khairi said, he had most recently passed the message to me that I have to get out of his way. He asked me to find another constituency because he wants to contest in Rembau. He asked me to give way, so I have to do that. And this is what Khairi said, apparently.
So, Khairi Jamaluddin, you know, you are always welcome on the Morning Run. For us to hear your side of the story, do let us know. You have our number.
But he will not, however, switch parties. As he says, as an UMNO party man, I will not switch parties and I will follow top leadership.
Okay, 8:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, we'll take a look at how the KLCI opens for the day. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. 7:59 in the morning, we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the breakfast grill, Wong Xiaoning speaks to Dr. Subramaniam Shanmugam, president of Amargma. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.